Thus concludes today's installment of the Alan Watts Radio Series. Of course, we'll have another installment for you next Wednesday at 11. Right now, it's nearly 11:30 a.m. Time for Talking Animals, 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals. As always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is the Rain Stick Orchestra with a piece called Waltz for a Little Bird here on WMNF. Orchestra with a Waltz for a Little Bird, an instrumental animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, streaming live on the internet via our fabulous website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources. But we're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. Always aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows. And we're podcasting now, baby, on iTunes and elsewhere, including all our initial programs on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll hear momentarily with our guest Chrissy Hine, a pretender singer, songwriter, guitarist, and longtime animal activist who's about to open a new vegetarian restaurant, Vegetarian, in her native Akron, Ohio. We'll find out lots more about her work on behalf of animals, including some of the protests for which she was arrested, and views of how transgressions against animals intersect with environmental transgressions, in her view. We'll hear our interview with Chrissy Hine in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Okay, let's step briefly into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Stephen Wright with a snippet of a piece called Ants on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
I'm going to court next week. I've been selected for jury duty. Kind of an insane case. 6,000 ants dressed up as rice and robbed the Chinese restaurant. I don't think they did it. I know a few of them and they wouldn't do anything like that.
All right. That was Stephen Wright with a snippet of a piece called Ants. Taken from his album, I Have a Pony. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes and elsewhere. Also on our site, there are pieces written about us and pieces we've written, plus there's now a Talking Animals blog. There's also a calendar of pet events taking place in and around Tampa and a place to subscribe to our monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests and remind you when the show will next air here on WMNF. That's TalkingAnimals.net. We're going to sort of switch, if we don't have to forego our animal announcements in the news segment, and get right into the interview with Chrissy Hine. So it is time for that. So let me quickly outline a few important details about Chrissy. Of course, for more than 25 years, she's been the singer, songwriter, guitarist, frontwoman of the Pretenders, which in 2005 was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by no less a figure than Neil Young. For many of those years, she's also been a high-profile, outspoken, and occasionally arrested animal activist, with her actions ranging from protesting KFC's inhumane treatment of chicken in their processing plant to recently writing a powerful piece in the Toronto Globe and Mail about Canada's annual seal hunt. She's also about to open a vegetarian restaurant in her native Akron, Ohio. You may find that this conversation, at least her attitude, travels a kind of an interesting arc by the end. At any rate, in an interview recorded last week, this is Chrissy Hine on Talking Animals here on WMNF. Okay, let's welcome Chrissy Hine to Talking Animals. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
Welcome to Talking Animals. Let's just jump right in. Probably like most longtime Pretenders fan, I can remember, precisely the details of the first encounters with your music, not just the first album, but, seeing the band on their first U.S. tour in 80, I think, with the Boomtown Rats at the Warfield Theater in San Francisco, and, of course, being blown away. But I can't quite remember precisely when your animal activism began. When was that?
Well, probably really when I met Dan Matthews, although I've been banging on about, being vegetarian and all that since time immemorial.
Uh-huh.
Probably pretty much always. I was always, when I met Dan, what year was that? That was about 1990. That's when I started doing stuff for PETA. Before that, because I always lived in England, so I didn't really, wasn't that familiar with them until then.
I see. And what was your first act of advocacy, and what was the catalyst for it?
Well, just becoming vegetarian in 1969. The catalyst was I just thought about it for a couple of minutes. I think people that are into, who really tune into and are very sensitive to animals, and, well, when I say animals, I mean the environment, the natural world. In my experience and having it's been my subject for most of my life. It seems to be something people are born with. Either you're like that or you're not like that. It's not something you acquire. People who have a real connection with animals and the natural world, they seem to have that as children, and it just carries through their life.
Well, then that's an interesting notion, because some of what a lot of us do, including yourself, is to try to influence people and educate people. So I guess the hope is that the people who aren't born the way that you've described can sort of at least be brought closer to the direction that some of us that might have actually been born that way.
Well, yeah, there's no rule to it. I don't know. Some people just have to think about it for 2 minutes and it changes their life.
Sure.
Other people can be in discussions for years on these things and they never budge.
Right.
Because they don't have that thing for animals or the natural world. It's the thing with vegetarianism. People who become vegetarian, they think about it for a few minutes and they think, oh, yeah, it's not really a thing of education. It's more a thing of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an ethical kind of decision you make in your life. If you feel strongly about that, you can't turn around and change your mind on it. It's a very deep philosophical thing.
Right.
And so, it's true. Some people, they can change their mind through reason, but mainly when it comes to the natural world, the environment, animals, it's something people are either kind of already tuned into that, or they just aren't really bothered.
Sure. But at
the same time, it's obviously there's always exceptions to this. This is not a rule, but that's just my observation.
Right. And at the same time, you've obviously spent a lot of the last, 25 years or so in particular, trying to reach out and trying to communicate and educate. And how quickly did you sort of recognize the power and influence a successful rocker in the public eye can bring to bear on an important issue, in this case, the welfare of animals and the environment? Was that sort of an immediate?
Well, first of all, I don't see it like that. I don't think of myself as an important rocker. I'm just another guy getting through my life, doing my thing. I'm not trying to influence and change people or try to tell them how to think or how to live. I'm just trying to stop people from killing and abusing and exploiting animals.
Right.
And I would be doing the same thing if I was a waitress. If I was still a waitress, as a matter of fact, I'd probably be doing it more,
mm-hmm.
because I would probably be much more actively involved in local, animal shelters, animal rescues, and possibly I'd be more on the front line, going into slaughterhouses, factory farms, filming things, trying to, get people arrested who are, in breach of what are supposedly the more humane, regulations and stuff in these, in these places.
Sure.
But as I'm just, a humble rock singer here, I just kind of shoot my mouth off, and that might get a little bit into the media. And certainly that's the way that PETA works. They try to grab headlines because everyone's hypnotized by the media and, kind of bows down to this sort of celebrity culture. I personally don't buy into that, but if people see me like that, and I can be a sort of spokesperson for PETA, then I'm very happy, because no one was asking me when I was a waitress.
Sure, sure. Well, along those lines, I mean, many, many years ago, you sort of famously said, I firebombed McDonald's, and of course the next day a McDonald's in Buckinghamshire was firebombed. I mean, how did that affect you and the way you viewed, you know, what you could do with that little bit of the, you know, media exposure that you are, you know?
Well, I was very flattered to think that I could influence someone to do something like that. But in actual fact, the truth of that was, that's when I met PETA, around that time.
Okay.
Because it was at a Greenpeace press conference. They asked what concessions the celebrities on the board had made to the environment. And in fact, I was already involved in some vegetarian and conservation. I just said I firebombed McDonald's to kind of break the ice.
Okay. Well, that's a charming icebreaker. So.
Well, but I think that all McDonald's should be burned to the ground. I've never made any secret about that. You know, I think
right.
It's a disgusting and evil organization who makes its profits out of the slaughter of cows. I mean, to me, that's my number one nemesis. So I've never, ever made any bones about that.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is, I don't feel in my heart that I could take credit, because McDonald's had been regularly firebombed, but they never allowed that to come to the attention of the public. And I just coincidentally said it as a joke. And the next day they were firebombed, so it looked as if I had influenced someone. I don't think it had anything to do with me.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I'd like to think it had, but I honestly don't.
Oh, okay. So
and
what you're saying...
Because of that, some publicity, therefore McDonald's had to make some statement, because up to that point, people didn't really associate. They would say, well, what does animal rights have to do with McDonald's? Duh.
I see. So it was happening actually prior to your statement. It's just that once that happened after your statement, then they had to kind of come clean about it or find some way to sort of pin it on you, I guess.
Exactly.
I got you.
Exactly.
Let me let our listeners know, this is Talking Animals on WMNF, and we're speaking with Chrissy Hynde. This is a recorded conversation, so I'm afraid I can't invite you to call in and join us this time. So Chrissy, over the years, you know, you've shined a light and your ire, obviously, on various animal welfare issues. I mean, protesting KFC, obviously McDonald's we just talked about, protesting the use of leather by the Gap. Some of these have, of course, gotten you arrested. You wrote a great piece, I thought, about the Canadian seal hunt just a few months ago for the Toronto Globe and Mail, and also protested the abuse of sheep in Australia, mule sing, which I want to actually ask you to kind of define. But at any given moment, there are countless, you know, issues worthy of attention, comment, support. What determines which ones you'll speak out on? Is there some sort of hierarchy of issues that you just feel like, okay, this is the one that I'm going to sort of, you know, bring to the public a little bit more at the moment?
You know, I don't see myself in any way as political. I'm not trying to preach to people or even influence their lives. I simply am trying to make some music. I don't offer any aspect of my personal or private life up to the screen, to public attention at all. I'm just reiterating what I said before, which is that and I'm not trying to change any people's minds. I'm just here to try to save animals. And that's my personal thing. I do feel that the reason I'm in a band and the reason I have any voice at all is for my higher cause, which is this, you know, cow protection, the natural environment. And I've always felt like that since I was a child. You know, this sort of rock thing is just the way I got in there.
But isn't it? But in a way, if you're protesting KFC or talking about, you know, McDonald's in that way, or writing about the Canadian seal hunt, aren't you in some way thinking, well, let's hope that this gets people to think about it, and therefore in some percentage of those people to alter their behavior?
Well, yeah, obviously. I'd like to think that no one would ever kill another animal and, you know, or abuse it or tie it up or leave it out in the cold or starve it or put it in a slaughterhouse. You know, that's the whole, that is the name of the game.
Right. So in that sense, you are, at least in that sense, you are hoping that you will change some thinking and change some behavior, even though that's, you say that's not particularly your focus, but that has to be at least some.
Let me put it this way. I'm not thinking about it that much. I'm just acting.
You're just doing it. Yeah.
You know, if I see someone beating up a dog with an iron bar on the street, I would probably try to stop that person if I could.
Sure.
Or a child or anything else.
Sure.
And that's just, so it's just my response to these activities. You might not see these slaughterhouses. People might not see these factory farms, but they're out there.
Yeah.
They're great, great, great big warehouses of suffering and slaughter. And they're all, they've got it all across the country.
Sure.
Because, you know, out of sight, out of mind, but not to people like me, because that bothers us.
Sure.
And we think about it a lot. And the only way we can sleep at night is if we try to sort of push back the powers that be that keep these institutions in place.
Right, and
you know,
also
I'm just one of many, many, many people who feel and think the way I do.
Sure.
It's just the way I get through my life is to try to see the end of these things, which I think have the ramifications on the entire society, the culture, the environment are so far-reaching and have unleashed such a calamity on our planet that, you know, it's kind of like now you can just stand back and watch the show. But, you know, we still want to, even if it just saves one bird, it's always worth staying out there on the front line.
Well, absolutely. And of course, you know, with you know, Al Gore's film and some other things, people, of course, now talking much more about the climate and global warming. But, you know, what a lot of people don't seem quite as willing to look at is, hey, if you just change your diet to a vegetarian diet, just that alone and the impact on the environment would be dramatic.
Oh, it would be so phenomenally, it would have such a huge effect. And that's why what Al Gore is talking about in his film, and, you know, environmentalists have been talking about this now loud and clear for a good 20 years, you know, where anyone has this available information. It's just most people weren't very interested in it. Scientists have been talking in public about this for years. Obviously, in this country, you have big, big, big problem, because in order to sustain, you know, if everyone in the world lived like Americans do, we'd need three planet Earths. I think that was the last figure I heard, which sounds pretty accurate.
Wow.
And it's really a question of people changing their lifestyles. It's very hard not, especially in the United States, it's very hard not to get in a car every day. It's very hard not to be sort of condemned to a life where you have got to be in cars and you've got to be on motorways. Because there's not really a very good public transportation system throughout most of the country.
Sure.
So that's a tricky one. There's not much you can do about that. You've got to dismantle that very slowly and figure out how people are going to get from A to B when everything's so spread out and there's no trains anymore. But the easy thing you can do, and you can do it right now, and that is to change your diet. That's something that everyone can change very easily, painlessly, and you can only have positive benefits as a result of that. Because that would seem, yeah, to most people, that seems like a real easy thing to do. Why people don't do it, that's when you get into this matter of what I was saying. It's not education, it's consciousness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like you say, I mean,
Yeah.
Well,
if you know what goes on in a slaughterhouse, and you know what happens to the life of a cow, and even if you don't know, all you have to do is close your eyes and imagine it for 30 seconds. That's really all you need to do.
Yeah.
And if you still think you're going to go and eat a hamburger, it's because your consciousness is shut down.
Yeah.
If you have an awareness of life on Earth, then you don't want to participate in that, because that's a form of suicide, and most people aren't trying to kill themselves.
For sure.
Not consciously, anyway.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at it from any of a number of angles, from what happens to the animals in the slaughterhouse to the carbon footprint to just your own personal health, there's any number of ways that you could, you know, easily embrace a vegetarian diet, and, you know, either you do or you don't when you think about one or more of those things. So
The vegetarian diet, you know, we all are so guilty of this carbon footprint, and it's great now that it's in a sort of ordinary, people have this as part of their, you know, common dialogue that we're talking about things like this. I personally, the thing that's happened to me in the last couple of years, which has really made me think and open my eyes, as to my own ignorance and my own, the sleepwalking I've been doing, is all this flying. Even, this is something that's bothered me for 25 years in the environmental dialogue that's been going on, is that even environmentalists seem to ignore not only the plight of animals, but the impact of animal husbandry and, you know, industrialized farming and all that, the impact. They seem to not regard, because they don't want to get into the vegetarian thing, because most of them are meat eaters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big area that they seem to try not to acknowledge.
It's a convenient blind spot.
I didn't realize for years is how absolutely destructive that flying is. And this is something that more recently, especially in England, there's whole groups of, like, student protest groups and or student-y type people who are really trying to stop new terminals being built and really start to try to put high taxation on flying to try to shut down and to back off flying rather than encourage more flying to discourage flying. And that's what we're starting to see in other countries. Of course, in the States, when they destroyed their train system, and now it's only flying, it's going to be a really tricky thing to dismantle. All you've got is cars and planes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, if you go to Scandinavia and get up at 5, 6 in the morning to go to work, the bike lanes fill up with tens of thousands of bikes, and by about 9 o'clock in the morning, you start to see a few cars. I mean, those countries have got it completely, it's almost like living on another planet.
Yeah.
You see the way that is a normal life there.
Yeah.
And how, for example, in Germany, how recycling is automatic. The government's been behind that for years and years and years. People recycle everything very, very carefully and very effectively. Whereas here...
Yeah, it's there's pockets of areas that do good recycling, but yeah, it's really a poor effort
it's
thus far.
It's depressing to people if they are willing to recycle, but the government has no interest in it because, you know, you very carefully wash out your cans, you take your plastics, you separate that, you take all your domestic waste, and I mean, you know, in England where I live, people don't really have garbage disposals. You know, you dispose of everything,
mm-hmm.
and then you walk by a huge office block, an office building, and all the lights are on, blazing all night long. You know, it discourages people. They think, why have I bothered to turn my bathroom light out and make sure, you know, I've closed everything down when I leave?
Yeah, it's harder.
And then you see an entire city center blazing like a nuclear, with this nuclear glow that just says, up yours, to the little guy who's trying to keep it clean.
Yeah, it's hard.
So until there's some legislation to say, hey, can everyone turn their lights off? That includes huge, I don't know what you call them here, office blocks, skyscrapers.
Office buildings,
you know,
skyscrapers, yeah, for sure.
Turn the lights off, somebody.
Right.
You know, I mean, it gives out a horribly depressing, negative, and a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness to ordinary people who would like to make changes.
Right. Well, and just the hypocrisy is, you know, a whole other, you know, reason to just, you know, make them feel like, well, why bother? But we're just sort of nearing that.
Yeah, and that's it. Only individuals can change. But, you know, it is depressing when you feel that you're, you know, pissing in the wind, essentially,
right.
And that it's not doing anything.
Right.
It's still doing something for yourself, and it is important. Even, like I say, even if you save the life of one animal,
sure.
Even if you can save the life of one starving orphan, of course it's worth all your efforts, even if it's the efforts of a lifetime.
Right.
But people need encouragement, and certainly I don't want to say anything political at all because I don't think it's about politics.
Yeah.
But it does depress people when their own government has no interest in environmental things. I mean, the rest of the world, people say that, you know, things have changed in America since 9/11. If you want to know the truth, the way the rest of the world regards America is when America ignored the Kyoto Treaty. That's when the rest of the world thought, you guys are, you know, we are not on the same page anymore. And that's what really damaged, I think, the world view of America, is its complete refusal to acknowledge any kind of efforts being made internationally to, rectify some of these real big problems that affect all of us.
And we've only managed to compound the blight on our record, unfortunately. So Chrissy, we're just about nearing the end of our time. If you just joined us, our guest is Chrissy Hynde in a conversation recorded recently. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. Let's talk, if we could, about the new restaurant, speaking of vegetarian eating, you're opening next month in Akron, Ohio, Vegetarian. How long have you been thinking about opening your own restaurant?
Well, you know, I thought 25 years ago, wouldn't it be great to have a sort of vegetarian McDonald's? By the way, I'm not supposed to talk about McDonald's, ha, ha, ha. And that's the other reason why it's so much fun to do these protests, because these big corporations actually think they can
muzzle you,
tell people what they're allowed to talk about or not. So, you know, I just
yeah.
thought I'd throw that in.
No, that's, I'm sure you're enjoying this.
Well, I'm not supposed to talk about them.
Of course.
Anyway,
Vegetarian.
Vegetarian. Yeah, well, no, what happened is I go back home, you know, as often as I can, and there's not even one vegetarian restaurant in the whole city. And people will say, well, there's a vegetarian menu in various restaurants. But to a vegetarian, of course, a vegetarian menu is not a vegetarian restaurant.
Sure.
Because as far as we're concerned, the kitchen's contaminated. I know it probably sounds like strong stuff to a meat eater. But we're very sensitive that way.
Of course.
So I went back to Akron, and there was nothing there. And I thought, the only way I'm going to get something to eat when I come home is if I open a restaurant.
I have
no interest in business or restaurants, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I've met some guys over there who have an Italian restaurant. And, you know, they wanted to come in with me. So I'm just going to have to, hence the vegetarian. It's a kind of blend of Italian and vegetarian, because most vegetarians know they can always get something in an Italian restaurant.
For sure.
It seemed like a good hybrid.
Cool. And that's supposed to open next sometime in September?
15th of September is the sort of grand opening, but it's also to do with Akron is having a kind of redevelopment and urban renewal thing happening, so
yeah.
It's more tying in with that project.
And
so, you know, hey, you know, come on over to Akron on the 15th of September.
Sure.
And have a ball.
Well, you'll be performing there as along with some other friends and guests, so it sounds great. You know, one quick question on that before we probably have to say goodbye here is I've seen a bit of grumbling, actually, about vegetarian not being a vegan restaurant. I mean, how would you respond to that? Was that something you considered, or was it sort of like, hey, we're just trying to get a vegetarian place in Akron?
Absolutely. If it was up to me, I probably wouldn't serve alcohol, and it would be completely vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And me and about four other hippies would go there regularly.
Right, right.
So you know, that's what I'm stuck with.
Right.
As much as I love my, you know, my brethren Buckeyes in Akron,
yeah.
I think when I talked about a vegan restaurant, it was, dare I say, it was too radical.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And, you know, people think, oh, okay, well, I'll be vegetarian, but, you know, I still want to have, you know, eggs on toast for breakfast and stuff. So, you know,
yeah.
Okay, so we'll try to make it as organic as possible.
Sure.
And as humane as possible and offer vegan alternatives to, you know, whatever we can on the menu.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, Chrissy Hine, thank you so much for spending time with us talking on Talking Animals, and we'll look forward to the opening of that restaurant. We're
doing this always about animal rights. Is that what the program's about?
It's all about animals and animal issues. It's called Talking Animals. And, yeah, Dan Matthews and Ingrid and all kinds of folks, including your old friend Meryl Marco, have all been guests on the show over the years. So, yeah.
Meryl Marco was on?
Yeah, she's been on a couple times. Yeah, so.
Fantastic.
So we're delighted to have.
Because all I had here was the name of the show, and I didn't have anything about what the show was actually about, so I wasn't really sure why we were going down the animal. You know,
I see.
It,
all right. Well,
more prepared.
No problem, but no, it was great, and we got all kinds of great info, and I've been looking to have you on the show for years and years, so I'm delighted to have you, and thanks again for making time for us.
I'll come on your show anytime, because I...
Well, that's music to our ears. I'll come on your show anytime. Yeah. All right, so that's Chrissy Hine, obviously, from The Pretenders, right here on Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net. Which I hope you'll visit and sign up for our monthly email newsletter. And subscribe to our podcast. Check out our calendar of Tampa Pet Events. Make suggestions for future guests or topics. Check out our new Talking Animals blog. That's all found on talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize. Your very own Talking Animals t-shirt. Come on. You know you want one. To the very first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune and the singers, thanks to our music director Flea, who not only suggested this song but provided it. Okay, it's a Name That Animal Tune on WMNF.
3, 4. Smelly cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Smelly cat, smelly cat, it's not your fault.
They won't take you.
Hi, can you name that animal tune? Hi, you're on WNF. Can you name that animal tune? Hi, you're on WNF. Can you name that animal tune?
Smelly cat.
And who are the singers?
Chrissy Hine.
Right. And who else?
Ooh.
All right, that's good enough. It's Phoebe Buffay, of course, from Friends. So what's your name?
My name's Harry.
Harry, okay, cool. I'm going to come back, put you on hold, Harry, if I can, and get your info to send you off your Talking Animals t-shirt. Thanks for listening.
I'm excited.
All right, okay. Cool. Thanks for playing our game. All right, we do have a winner, folks, so... That's going to bring us pretty much to the end of Talking Animals. We want to quickly announce the Craftsman House Dog Days of Summer Celebration this Saturday, August 11th. Plenty of dog-friendly businesses will be on site. The new Barker Dog Magazine, Pet Planet Grooming, Calling All Dogs Dog Walker, Defenders of Wildlife, and more. Call 727-323-ARTS for more information. We've just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The program airs monthly, specifically the second Wednesday of each month, so we'll be back September 12th, and our guest will be Margaret Cho. I hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net, and while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! I'll be back at 4 p.m. today hosting the Sonic Detour, and I'll return for another edition of Talking Animals September 12th on WMNF Tampa. And closing out today's show, as always, is an animal song. It's the Pretenders version of Walk Like a Panther right here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks.
From the NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman.